Complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us and to speak through his holy word to each one of us. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4 in particular. Deuteronomy 13, chapter 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. Dear friends, I've been greatly touched by the two hymns chosen by our friend to be given out this morning. How they seem to be commentaries and prayers upon this text. There may be that it is of the Lord's will that I have been led to this word in the midst of a very solemn chapter. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. Now, the children of Israel were not just any people. They were his chosen people. They were his loved people, beloved people. They were the sons of Jacob, whom he loved. The Lord had brought them out of their captivity, out of Egypt. After many, many years, he'd heard their prayers. They were slaves to Pharaoh, and they had no power to deliver themselves from it. But the word of God had gone forth much earlier, that it would be so for them when he spoke to Abraham, that they would go and serve another nation for those 400 years. How mysterious is the will and divine purpose of God concerning his people. They weren't to have a smooth journey to the promised land, which was a promised and covenanted to Abraham, were they? No, the way was to be through faith. The faith of Abraham in the birth of Isaac and the faith of Sarah. It wasn't to be by man's power and man's will. And this captivity, deliverance from it, wasn't to be by man's power and man's will. Not by might, but by my power, saith God. And that time came. That time they prayed for deliverance. And dear friends, it came, and they began that journey through a wilderness. Not the way that would have been chosen by mankind, which was the way of the Philistines. The Lord said he would not let them go that way, lest they would fall in the way and not reach the promised land. They would go by the way in which they depended, not upon themselves, but upon God. A way in which was not possible for them to live and to provide for themselves. The Lord had to provide for them in water and food. And so he led them forth, as we might say, by the right way, dependent upon his mercy, upon his grace. They had now come to the borders of that land. It would have been a difficult journey. Their own spirit prevailed many times. They rebelled against the word of God to them. They wanted their own way. At one time they wanted to return into Egypt. They said it was better to be in captivity than being led by the Lord. You know, dear friends, these circumstances can occur today with the Lord's own people. It seems better to be just left to one's own ways and one's own will, one's own intellect, one's own skill, and all that the God hath given to us naturally in that respect, than to walk in the ways of God, obedient to his word and to his voice. Here Moses is reminding the children of Israel of all the way the Lord, their God, had led them. And to know that they'd lived not by bread only, but by every word that had proceeded out of the mouth of God, had they lived. Oh, dear friends, that's still the same today, isn't it? And we have to be thankful where the Lord has commanded a deliverance one way and another in our journeys of life, as we look towards an eternity to come. We have not lived by just our daily food alone, which we do need and we should pray for. Give us this day our daily bread, yes. But oh, for the bread of life, through Christ Jesus, the gift of God, the word of God. We shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Moses commands the people concerning the law of God. God is a holy God, and his law is holy. And if we are to live eternally, we are to obey that law fully in every aspect of it. Oh, this word here teaches us, doesn't it, of the holiness of God, who cannot abide the slightest taint of sin. For where that is, the punishment is to die. Not just to die in the body, but the death of our soul, in that dreadful place prepared for the devil and his angels. The foundation of the law was written by God with his own finger on those tables of stone, the Ten Commandments, as we call them. We read just a few verses of them, and I'm sure you children know them, and perhaps you've learnt them. And the first one: I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Oh, dear friends, our own hearts and minds, tempted and ruled so much by Satan, being born dead in trespasses and in sin spiritually, we shall all know these temptations. Temptations to not obey the word of God, not to obey to believe in him as we should, not for his word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway, or but to go and serve those things which are pleasant to our flesh and give us entertainment to our evil hearts and our minds. We're of this earth earthy. But the command of the holy law of God is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I shall be first and foremost in all that you think and say and do. It'll be to mine honour. It's to be to my glory. Oh, and if anyone tempts you to go another way, how solemnly we are to behave toward them, to put away the temptation, to be completely put away from us, to separate ourselves from them. Why, he's put in the terms of chapter 13 that if there is a prophet, one who says he's a prophet of God and does some great thing to tempt you, to say, oh, this other way is better than the ways of obeying the word of God, let us follow these other things. They give us more comfort and prosperity here upon this earth. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or of that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord may let it permit it to come to pass that we be tempted through our evil hearts and minds and a power of evil to depart from the ways of God, of his commands, of the law, of his statutes, his precepts, his testimonies. Or we're to endeavour to keep them. It's the duty of man, isn't it, to serve the Lord God who hath created us. He's our maker. And if he is our maker, dear friends, we're to obey that which is his and his commands. To turn aside is sin. Sin is transgression of the law. And how easily, oh, we can fall through temptations. But the exhortation is that prophet or that dreamer or that one who shall tempt you. The law of the holy God is he will be put to death. You will have nothing more. You will separate yourself right from him. My dear friends, in the days here and in the interpretations, it was sure and certain death. You know, in that respect, this here is no different to the law of Islam and their God, how he has to be obeyed in everything. And if anyone turns from the faith of Islam in which they are born, and they turn to another faith, such as the Christianity, then they are put to death physically. In those lands where Islam is the ruler, then friends, there's no mercy. Their God is not a God of any mercy. Now our God is a holy God. And the law of God is steadfast, it's sure, it defines what is sin and what is not. But dear friends, where these solemn sentences under the law are found, there is also a proportion of mercy. It is not just law and death, destruction and despair. Oh, dear friends, it's a great mercy that our God, the only God, is not just a consuming fire, but he's also a God of love towards his people. He knows their frame. He remembers they are but dust. He knows they are fallen in Adam's sin. They are born in the image of Adam, and they have no strength at all, an ability to at all, to obey the righteous, holy law of God. Francis chapter 13 says if we are tempted by our loved ones, of our family, our sons, our brothers, our daughters, our wives, our friends, close to us. Friends, the sentence is to be the same. They're put to death. That they tempt us no more. And if a city into which they were to dwell in the promised land, which they were to come to here in Israel, if they separated themselves from obeying God and turned to other gods, the names of the people of the gods round about them, or from one end of the earth to the other, then that city was to be utterly destroyed, the people killed with the sword. Dear friends, these things tell us very solemnly of the hatred of God for any sin. Any sin. Well, we find in some of the other aspects of the law, don't we, where a man was found lighting a fire upon the Sabbath day. And Moses prayed to the Lord what should be done. He's broken the Sabbath day. It wasn't a fire just for his needful comfort in the cold. In the cold, he wanted warmth. No. It was a fire he was kindled to carry on with his work, whatever that work was. He was breaking the Sabbath day. And the word of God was, he shall surely be put to death. Dear friends, does this make us tremble before a holy God over our sin? For God is the same. He does not change. His law is holy. It does not change. We are sinners in God's sight. And we're only worthy of solemn death. Not just of our bodies, which we shall all die, but after that the judgment of our sins. For eternal damnation. And how dreadful that shall be. Dear friends, even the days of Jesus. Oh, when Jesus saw the sins of the people there who did not believe in him. He says, you're of your father the devil. They sought to put Jesus to death. Oh, what did he say concerning Capernaum and Bethsaida? Oh, he said they will be destroyed. Because of their unbelief. Many years ago now, myself and my wife with others, we went to Israel. We saw Capernaum. Capernaum of old, not the Capernaum of today, which is relatively new, but the old Capernaum where the synagogue was is just ruins. Nobody lives there. So with Bethsaida, so with Chorazin. The word of God comes to pass. It does not fail. Oh, dear friends, these things make us tremble, shouldn't they? Of how we are before a holy God. The law says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. That's the way everlasting. That's the way of deliverance from God's wrath to come. And how many of us shall be found in such a place in that solemn day? Dear friends, will we be able to claim our righteousness, our obedience, our conformity to the law, the statutes, the testimonies, so forth, the judgments of the Word of God. We shall all be found guilty, shan't we? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then where is our hope? Where is our comfort? Where is our peace? Well, you know, dear friends, we can come to the house of God, we can read his word, we can live our daily lives, and our solemn state by nature can never make us tremble before a holy God. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. That's what we are told. The Word of God tells us clearly. And it will keep us away, oh, from our solemn state before a holy God. But we are thankful for the mercy of God. We're thankful for him who said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. A name he gave to Moses, even at Sinai, after the children of Israel sinned there, even though they'd been given the law and they made that calf to worship. My name is, I am merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And that was the only way Israel continued, wasn't it? And it's the only way his people, his children, of the Church of Christ continue today. Because of his mercy and grace and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Where do we find it? In Jesus Christ. Who said, I came not to destroy the law. No. The law is still there. It's our schoolmaster, shall we say, to teach us what great sinners we are. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. For we lived a life upon this earth, made like unto his brethren, holy, pure, undefiled, separate from sin. But he fulfilled it in paying the price. The demands of the law for sin that should be paid. Death on account of sin. That's love, wasn't it? That was grace. That was mercy. That was goodness. And dear friend, it's the truth. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Oh, as the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. I am chief. Oh, Paul knew the law of God. He knew all about Moses. He knew all about the prophets and all the things of the history. And he was well taught in the scriptures. But it wasn't until sin revived through the teaching of the Spirit and the appearance of the Lord unto him. Sin revived, he said, and I died. I died. Death unto himself, because he could see there was now no life in him, no aspect of eternal life in him. He was guilty of the most terrible sins. He was worthy to die. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. Dear friends, that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? To thank God through Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, if we have been taught, as Paul was taught, that he was a great sinner, and the light of the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus has shined in our hearts, to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, brought out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light, the light of the truth, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, not to call the righteous, those who think they're righteous of themselves, but sinners to repentance. Then, dear friends, if we know this, then, oh, we're to walk after the Lord our God, and to fear him, and to keep his commandments, obey his voice, to serve him, and to cleave unto him. Christ is to be first and foremost in our lives. Dear friends, there's no compromise, is there? It's not, oh well, you may do this or you may not do this. No. The law of God is the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there's only one way of deliverance, Christ, the way, the truth and the life. And we cannot walk in our life separate from him. We cannot continue in our life without the knowledge of his saving grace. We cannot continue with any hope and peace without the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Oh, the word of God is very clear, isn't it? And dear friends, when that love is made known to us, then, oh, we're to love him who hath first loved us. We're to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. As God, as Jesus said, as he summarized the law of God. He didn't go through each commandment one at a time. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. Dear friends, that is to walk after the Lord your God and to fear him. Fear him. Who has called you by grace? Yes. Because you've still got those dreadful sinful nature within you. And he pulls you away, doesn't it? We're subject to temptations. Those fiery trials which try us. And the Lord will enable them and permit them to come. Oh, that we may show where our true hope and love and affection lies. And dear friends, in fear we have to pray, don't we? Pray continually to be kept. Oh, for a closer walk with God, as we've sung. Did we mean it? Closer walk with God, a calmer heavenly frame. A light to shine upon the road, that's Christ. To lead us to the Lamb, dependent. Upon his shed blood, his sacrifice at Calvary, and to cleave unto him. Oh, to pray earnestly, to be strengthened in faith, to be kept from falling. Oh, it's Jude, isn't it, who says unto him that he's able to keep you from falling. He says, walk in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, who is able to keep you from falling. Then, Lord, dear friends, it's vital, isn't it? To be one with Jesus through faith, in his tender fear. Oh, and when we do fail, when we do backslide, when we do sin, oh, to call upon him for his mercy. That mercy that endures forever towards his people. Oh, Hosea looks to Israel in the promised land and says, O Israel, Ephraim, thou hast destroyed thyself. Thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thy help. There's the mercy, there's the grace. You don't find that, dear friend, with the earthly gods, do you? They can't do anything. Any God which is the imagination of men's hearts and minds can't do that. Oh, Israel, how they sinned at times, didn't they? They separated themselves from God. They served Ashtaroth. They served Baalim. They made themselves idols. They fell down before them. Then under the law, God should have destroyed them, shouldn't he? He should have brought them immediately to death. But he didn't. He was long-suffering. That's part of his name. But at times he did bring them into distress on account of their sin. He caused the nations round about to rise up against them. They became their enemies. They had power over them. And Israel became subdued into great poverty and loss and distress, until they were brought to repentance. Oh, what a lovely word, isn't it? In Samuel, where Samuel was raised as a prophet by God. The word was very precious in those days. They'd even lost the ark through their sins. It was 7 months with the Philistines, but the Lord caused it to be returned. And then it lay in the fields of Kirjath-Jearim, and the people turned to worship Ashtaroth and Baalim. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. There's repentance. If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. There's his mercy. There's his grace. There's his long-suffering. There's his goodness. There's his truth. His name. He did not blot them out completely because of their sins. Then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And so he did. He did. Oh, the Philistines came again and they said to Samuel, pray for us. Pray for us. And Samuel didn't just pray. He offered a sacrifice of a lamb. Oh, dear friends, when we come into our sins, when we go into our waywardness, we destroy ourselves. But oh, to turn again to the Lord our God. Not just prayer, but pleading the precious sin-atoning blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins, and for the restoring of our souls in the power of the Spirit, that we may again return unto righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus, that cleanses us from all of our sin. Oh, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Take with you words. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. And the answer, I will heal their back. Mine anger is turned away from them. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. Oh, dear friends, there's no other God like our God, is there? Then we're exhorted to cleave to him. Humble ourselves under his mighty hand. Be subject to his love. Plead it above all other things. To walk in his ways, obey his voice, all his will esteem. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Faith in Christ, the way to glory. I'm just concluding this. I noticed sometimes we say by chance, don't we? But it isn't by chance if the Lord has a purpose for his word. But I'd opened up my Bible and it was in Psalm 119. And here was a prayer of the psalmist in that portion called Samech. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. But dear friends, his prayer was heard, wasn't it? He was a child of God. His desire were the ways of God. And dear friends, may those desires of his prayer there be our desires, that we may walk after the Lord our God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. May be that our pathway in our lives. The Lord help us and hear and provide for you all to keep you close to him, leaning upon Christ, our beloved, as he leads us forth by the right way unto that city of habitation. Amen.